Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday, May 17, 2022. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Much to talk about this morning. We are going to be checking in with Dr. Meg Meeker, of course. She has a wonderful website, meekerparenting.com, and she's all over this story regarding the formula crisis that we're seeing in this country that sounds like something out of a third world news headline. But it's happening right here in our neighborhoods, and it's getting worse. Now, there was some news today, and you'll hear about it in our upcoming newscast, that one of the plants in Michigan that was forced to shut down because of some issues is going to be starting up again. But they're still saying it's going to take up to 8 weeks to restock the shelves. So what does that mean for parents? Are there alternatives? And what does that do in terms of the stress level of moms and dads, especially those with newborns? This is something that Dr. Meg Meeker, as a pediatrician, deals with on a regular basis. And she'll join us and, of course, give us a very, I'm sure, Christian perspective as a sister in the Lord. And then checking in with our friend Sean Carney, co-founder of 40 Days for Life. We've been trying to catch up with Sean the last couple of weeks since the Supreme Court leak. We're going to talk to him about that, what that means. And I'll also share in that interview a powerful clip of the amazing pro-life Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly encourage you to go on C-SPAN and find it was more of an interview, really just kind of a discussion. And it was really a very powerful discussion, and it was emceed by a former law clerk of Justice Thomas's who did a wonderful job in raising issues and allowing folks in the audience, lawyers actually representing a number of minority groups, lawyers and law students, and having a very frank discussion with this amazing Supreme Court Justice and man of God and strong revert to the Catholic faith. I just have such respect for Clarence Thomas on so many levels. But it was such a powerful discussion because he brings up so many important points about the reality of his situation. And he doesn't want people to forget about what it meant that there was a leak at the highest court in the nation. He says this is an attack on the institutions that help us maintain freedom and balance in this country. And he's afraid that the Supreme Court has been changed forever and that other institutions are facing the same thing or already going through it. It's a very important discussion, and I encourage you to find it. It's on C-SPAN, and perhaps we can, Andrew has a link, and perhaps since we're going to be talking about that with Sean Carney this morning, we can put a link to it on the AveMariaRadio.net archive section. So that's our program today on a Tuesday. Much to talk about. It is just about 3 minutes past the hour. Let's take a look at the weather for a spring day across the country and around the world. The early season heat across portions of the southern U.S. will be continuing for much of the week, with more potential record high temperatures. Today, expected 90s and triple digits from the southern plains into parts of the lower Mississippi Valley. Also today, they're going to see strong to severe thunderstorms in some areas, and local heavy rainfall will be possible from the central plains into the mid-Mississippi Valley. And we're actually going to be seeing temperatures in the 90s, close to 90 degrees later this week, which is very unusual for Michigan. We usually don't hit the 90s until the end of June, early July. So a lot of folks are feeling the heat, and of course, it's not going to be helping the fire situations much at all. So we keep our eyes on that as well. It is 3 minutes, actually now 4 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning. A lot of news to get through. Never a dull moment. Let's get started and see what's happening in and around the world on your Tuesday morning. Well, the Supreme Court's first opinion issuance day since a leak of a draft opinion suggesting justices will overturn Roe v. Wade came and went Monday without a decision in a closely watched Mississippi abortion case. You can find this story in full at CatholicNewsAgency.com. The case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization remains one of the 35 the court still must rule on before it recesses for the summer. The court announcing last week that it would release one or more opinions Monday. It issued two shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Patel versus Garland, that's an immigration case, and Federal Election Commission versus Ted Cruz for Senate, which concerns a federal campaign finance law. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops offering prayers for the support and healing of families, friends, and communities of those impacted by the violent incidents in Buffalo, New York, and Laguna Woods, California, over the weekend. In a statement on Monday, the bishops offering prayers to the injured and those who lost their lives, as well as for those on the front lines who risk their lives responding to calls for help, and for those in the medical fields who minister to those who've been harmed. The bishops also restating its commitment, the conference, to advocating for an end to violence and for the respect and dignity of all lives. Meanwhile, Mike Bauer tells us many questions are being asked now about whether the accused Buffalo shooter's encounter with police and the mental health system was yet another missed opportunity.
Last spring, as the end of the academic year approached at Susquehanna Valley High School outside Binghamton, New York, students were asked for a school project about their plans after graduation. Peyton Gendron, the suspect in the Buffalo shooting, said he wanted to commit a murder-suicide. He claimed to be joking, but the state police were called and Gendron had a psychiatric evaluation in the hospital, but was released within a couple of days. Now questions swirl about mental health evaluations, police involvement in them, and whether this was another missed opportunity to put a potential mass shooter under closer law enforcement scrutiny, get him help, or make sure he did not have access to deadly firearms.
The families of the victims of the Buffalo, New York mass shooting, meanwhile, are now filing suit. Former Buffalo Fire Commissioner Gunnell Whitfield, whose mother was killed Saturday, says he's joining that lawsuit. Authorities say a self-avowed white supremacist, as you just heard, opening fire at a supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood. And the man who was killed in Sunday's shooting rampage at a church out in Orange County, California, tackling the suspect before being shot. The victim who lost his life, identified now as a 52-year-old doctor, John Chang, whom Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes calls a hero.
Without the actions of Dr. Chang, it is no doubt that there would be numerous additional victims in this crime.
After Dr. Chang tried to disarm the suspect, others in the church moving in, subduing the man and hog-tying him with an extension cord before Orange County Sheriff's deputies arrived. The phase In God We Trust remaining on city vehicles in one Kansas town. The Haven City Council voting last night to allow the phrase on city vehicles after residents attended the meeting to protest the removal of that phrase. Pope Francis yesterday telling young people involved in politics to pursue their commitment, fostering encounter and action. As Linda Bordoni reports, the Holy Father addressing members of a political fraternity whom he received in the Vatican.
The Chemin Neuf political fraternity brings together young people aged between 18 and 35. They're from different countries and political cultures, all of them motivated by the same passion for the common good and the poor, and eager to act in politics according to the gospel message. Addressing a group of its members in the Vatican on Monday, Pope Francis offered a reflection on the genuine meaning of politics for Christians. First and foremost, he said, politics is an art of encounter.
La politica è innanzitutto l'arte dell'incontro.
And encounter, he explained, consists of being open to others and accepting their differences. For us Christians, he added, there is more. The gospel, in fact, demands that we love our enemies. And this, he said, means that we are called to see political encounters as fraternal encounters, especially with people who disagree with us. It's an attitude, he continued, that requires us to change the way we look at others, showing acceptance and respect. Otherwise, politics risk turning into a violent confrontation, where people try to impose their own ideas and pursue particular interests over the common good. Another important prerequisite for Christians involved in politics, Pope Francis said, is the capacity to share reflection, recognizing that politics must pursue a general good. In a word, he said, the whole is greater than the part.
Insomma, il tutto è superiore alla parte.
Finally, action. Action, which means that as Christians, we must always be realistic, confronting our ideas with hard reality, lest we build on sands that sooner or later end up shifting.
Dr. Meg Meeker will be along right after the break in the news to update us on this story. Steps are being taken to ease the ongoing nationwide baby formula shortage. Bree Jackson tells us that Abbott, the company with the shuttered plant in Michigan, entering into a consent decree with the Food and Drug Administration in a bid to restart production at its facility.
Under the deal, Abbott must retain an independent expert to review the facility's operations and ensure that it follows the law.
A court, meanwhile, must still approve it, and initial requirements to restart the plant must then be met. Now, when that happens, the facility could come back online within 2 weeks. However, it's estimated that various products made by the company will not be available on shelves for an additional 6 to 8 weeks from the time when the plant is once again operational. A federal judge expected to rule this week on whether the Title 42 border restrictions will remain in place, and experts say the decision will have a major impact on the nation's immigration court system. Here's former immigration judge Mark Metcalf, who says there's already a massive backlog.
We expect this summer to have what's called the usual summer surge at the border. Without border security, without Title 42, we're beat.
Metcalf, who's now with the Immigration Studies Official Office, says there are currently about 2 million asylum cases pending. Some migrants are waiting 3 to 5 years for a court hearing. Florida's governor is signing a bill aimed at those who protest outside someone's private home. Republican Ron DeSantis signing the measure that establishes a second-degree misdemeanor for someone who intentionally harasses or distributes or disturbs an individual. The law carrying a 60-day jail penalty. DeSantis signing recent protests against Supreme Court justices following the leak of that draft opinion, which signaled that Roe v. Wade could be overturned. Florida's law is due to become effective later this fall. And Republican lawmakers also in Florida meeting to discuss how small businesses are dealing with rising inflation. Representative Maria Elvira Salazar says 70% of the businesses in Miami, for example, are minority-owned small businesses.
In 2019, Miami was the city that had the highest growth for small business. One in five small businesses in this country is originated or created by a minority.
However, she adds, a rising cost of raw materials and restrictive laws are making running those businesses much more difficult. Meanwhile, speaking of rising costs, the price of gas just keeps going up, with AAA reporting the national average price for regular jumping again to $4.52 a gallon, and that's just too much for this Michigan resident.
And that's crazy that people can't even get to their jobs. People can't get to their jobs. How are they supposed to feed their family? Something needs to happen. Something's not right.
California drivers, meanwhile, getting hit the hardest, with prices now topping $6 a gallon. On average, more voters are making their voices heard, and that's happening today. Five states holding primary elections, and at least three could all play a role in which party controls Congress after the midterms in November. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Kentucky are all filling Senate seats. In Pennsylvania, Dr. Mitt Oz, among the U.S. Senate hopefuls on the Republican side, if he wins the nomination and then is victorious in November, he will be the first Muslim senator in the nation's history. Oz is backed by former President Donald Trump. Florida Senator Marco Rubio sounding off on the Homes for Every Local Provider, Educator, and Responder bill during National Police Week. Also, there are many blue masses going on around the country today in honor of first responders. Rubio says a Helper Act would establish a one-time use home loan for first responders and teachers to ensure they can afford to live near their jobs.
There are counties in the state in which the people who serve that community, in the fire departments, in the police departments, the EMTs, as teachers, can't live in the county, or they live, you know, an hour and a half drive away.
He says home prices have skyrocketed during COVID, and it's just not fair to expect people to deal with long commutes just to get to work. He says this will also help retain qualified employees. That bill supported by Heroes First Home Loans. Rory O'Neill tells us Elon Musk now says his deal to buy Twitter won't move forward until he knows just how many fake accounts are on the social network.
Elon Musk is demanding proof of Twitter's claim that less than 5% of their accounts are fake. Some analysts believe up to 20% of the accounts are bogus, four times what's claimed in Twitter's corporate filings. In an overnight tweet, Musk said the Twitter CEO publicly refused to show proof about the fake accounts, saying, quote, "This deal cannot move forward until he does."
And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning on EWTN, a House subcommittee holding a public hearing today on the topic of UFOs, or unidentified aerial phenomena, as it's being referred. It's being led, this hearing today, by Democratic Congressman Andre Carson of Indiana.
About 2 to 6% of these sightings are unexplained. We were ruling out weather balloons, drones, aircraft, natural phenomena. So we want to explore those things that can't be identified and that may pose a risk to our national security.
This will be the first such open congressional hearing in more than 50 years. The public portion will then be followed by a closed classified briefing. 14 minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning, May 17th. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. When we come back, Dr. Meg Meeker, noted parenting expert, pediatrician, all-around great gal and sister in the Lord, joining us in this crisis we're facing in our country, one of which really affects her clientele, her practice as a pediatrician, parents searching high and low for baby formula. Who would have thunk it in the United States of America? We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines: literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/MCS.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Always appreciate the great advice, insight, and experience of a wonderful MD, but also, most importantly, a beautiful sister in the Lord who does such a great job with working with parents in all situations. Her website is meekerparenting.com. She's a noted author, speaker, and pediatrician. And Meg, you're the first person I thought of, well, next to my grandnieces, because of the formula thing. The twins are well beyond that. They're five and a half years old now. But our little baby grandniece is just over a year. She doesn't use formula anymore. But I called up her mom, and I said, oh, my goodness, can you believe this? And she was saying that, and you know this because you know the story of the twins because you have twins as well. Our twins were preemie, and they needed a very specific type of formula because of sensitivities they had. And I keep thinking of all these parents out there who are struggling with this. And what are you hearing from your perspective as a pediatrician dealing with this issue?
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm hearing a lot of fear, which concerns me. And, you know, like I have a six-month-old grandson, and I was just talking to my daughter yesterday about how to, you know, transition him if we need to early to different kinds of foods before he's a year, which is usually when we transfer from formula over to milk. But it's very concerning to me as a pediatrician on a couple levels. First, it makes people panic and they start making their own formulas at home, and this is very, very dangerous. You know, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, people used to do this. But the problem is it may sound natural and it may sound good, take goat's milk or take cow's milk and do this and this and this, but it's very, very dangerous because the electrolytes, the sodium, potassium aren't right, you don't have good pasteurization, and it can lead to babies being very, very ill. The second thing is the reason we have this shortage is disturbing to me, too. There are only four companies in the United States that make baby formulas, and I think that one of the reasons is the government is so strict on, you know, on the processing and the final product, and that's good. But, you know, we've got to be able to lighten up on some of these regulations so that we can produce more formulas. So You know, as a woman who has faith, I believe that God's going to figure a way out of this for us. And if he doesn't figure out a way to get more formula made, he's going to figure out give us a way to make sure these babies are healthy. But really what I'm seeing a lot now is a lot of fear in mm-hmm. parents of kids under a year.
So what do you do, though, if you can't get the formula and the child is not ready to switch over to milk, or, God forbid, if they have an allergy or they need a specific type of formula? And, for example, I mean, look at Bette Midler. I mean, don't even get me started. I have to be charitable. I mean, our gospel this Sunday was to love one another. But her very insensitive comments saying, oh, quit complaining, I'm paraphrasing, but just breastfeed. Meanwhile, there are many women for many reasons who can't or have tried and have failed and want to, but they can't. And the insensitivity of those on the left, oh, this is no big deal. But what do you do? I mean, really, what do you do?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. What I am going to do, because we're all sort of just trying to figure this out right now, is, you know, first of all, you can contact, like physicians like me, can contact formula reps and say, hey, please, please, please give us what you have. In addition to that, I think you need to sit down with your pediatrician and say, okay, I believe my baby's 6 months old. I believe I have enough formula for a month or two. Now, what do I do? And I would say to them, okay, we need enough protein. We need enough things with salts and potassium in them. So we go through foods like that. We go through, you know, can we give them cheese? Can we give them yogurt? Can we give them peanut butter? And I believe we can get kids to have enough protein without formula. Formula has a lot of iron, so okay, how are we going to find ways to give the baby iron? A lot of dark green vegetables. How are we going to make sure the baby gets enough liquids? Okay, we can do that through natural fruits, you know, apple juice, oranges. We can make our kids get all the nutrients they need without the formula. What we need to be careful to do is people say, okay, well, I can't give them formula, I'm going to give them milk. And then babies drink too much milk. You can't do that because that's very dangerous, too, because it doesn't have enough iron. So I don't think we need to just jump over to skim milk or whole milk. This is for regular babies, babies without a sensitivity. But we can give them little bits of dairy products in their daily diet that can get them through. And really what we're trying to get through is just get them to a year when we'd be taking them off a bottle anyway. So if you have a normal, healthy baby that doesn't have sensitivities or allergies, sit down with your pediatrician, go through what you can do with a healthy diet through foods and veggies, and then how you can pepper in some dairy there. And then we need to boost their vitamins. They need to have, vitamins C and D and E and iron and you know, that's the most important, too. But don't just panic and start giving your baby, as much whole milk or skim milk as you want.
We're talking with Dr. Meg Meeker, pediatrician and parenting expert. Meg Meeker's website is meekerparenting.com. She's a noted worldwide speaker and also author of a number of books relating to parenting, and a beautiful book on fathers and daughters, which I just love and gave to my nephew because he's the father of three beautiful baby girls. But Meg, a question is, okay, so you do this, you meet with your pediatrician, you have a good session, you get an idea of how to, you know, bring that child through the first year. In terms of, let's say, if they're newborns and you start doing this, do you then transition back to the formula? Is that too much of an adjustment for the baby's system? I mean, this sounds just so crazy that we're doing this. Yeah. Sounds like a third world country thing.
Yeah. You can, but it has to be slowly. You have to wean babies. That doesn't make sense, wean them into something, but you have to gradually move them into a different kind of diet, a different kind of formula. Now, I don't know what the supplies are, but you can buy breast milk. And I know there's a lot of controversy about that. But that might be a good option for some people with very, very young babies. As far as preemies go and having the very elemental formulas like Nutramigen that we give babies, that's going to be a little bit dicier. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how we're going to navigate that. Mm. But we will figure it out. I know we will figure it out because God's in charge. And he's not going to allow babies to starve. But I think that for the vast majority of kids who are otherwise healthy and over 2 months of age, we can finesse it. But for younger babies, you know, buying breast milk might be a good option. I know I'll get beaten up for saying that, but I'm just trying to, you know, grab.
Well, offer an option, right, to see what's out there. But I know that the breast milk banks, these places that offer it, are going through the roof in terms of demand for it. We're talking with Dr. Meg Meeker about the shortage of formula. Meg, there was a story this morning that I just read in the news that even if the plant in our home state of Michigan, the western part of the state, Abbott is the name of the company that closed the plant there in western Michigan, they said even if it starts to open, it's not going to open for weeks yet because there's all these different steps they have to make. And then from the time it opens, it's another 6 to 8 weeks before they get the product on the shelves.
Yeah. You know, and this is where I really come down on the government, too. The regulations are so strict. Now, of course I want regulations on baby formula.
You know what? Hold that thought. We're running into the break. More with Dr. Meg Meeker, and also talking about the impact having a great deal of fear could have on your child in the early stages of life, something else that Meg deals with as a pediatrician on a regular basis. We'll be right back.
When you talk about the Reformation, you often hear it talk of five solas: sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, solus Christus, and soli Deo gloria. Catholics have no serious problem with solus Christus or sola gratia. The problems are with sola scriptura and sola fide. Catholics will maintain that sola scriptura, scripture alone, is itself unscriptural. Where in scripture does scripture refer to itself as the only infallible authority that we have? It's also illogical to say that you stand on scripture alone presupposes that you know what scripture is. And frankly, we don't know what scripture is because it's a tradition that we've inherited. We don't establish it. We know what counts as Holy Scripture because Catholic bishops detected that certain texts were inspired by God.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Second Commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The disclosure of a name in the ancient world belonged to the order of trust and intimacy. And so when God revealed his name to Moses, it was an extraordinary outreach to us, saying that we were called to an intimate, trusting relationship with him. And so we should always reverence this name as a great gift. We should obviously never use God's name to curse or to blaspheme or to berate others. God's name is meant to bring blessing. And likewise, the vain use. Vain means empty. So some of these expressions like, oh my God, or, you know, and so on, need to be avoided as well. Vain means empty, and those are using God's name as an empty kind of expression of exasperation. And then finally, never ever to use God's name to swear an oath falsely. God is the God of truth. The Second Commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Continuing our very important discussion with Dr. Meg Meeker, who joins us. We try to get to Meg once a month. I know she's so busy, but we do appreciate her coming on with us to discuss your concerns as parents. Meg Meeker Parenting, you can find her at meekerparenting.com. Her many books, her talks, podcasts, radio show, Dr. Meg Meeker is her name, and she's a proud Michigander, and we love our state, and it's beautiful this time of year. It's beautiful all year round, but we're more partial to the spring and summer and fall months because it's so pretty here in the Great Lakes State. Okay, getting back to what you said before we were interrupted by the break, I'm very, very upset about what's happening with the government. How could this happen? Now, of course, as you said earlier, concerned about contamination, obviously you have to fix a problem. But how could it be that there's no alternative plan for something as basic as feeding babies?
Yeah, it is. It really boggles the mind. And again, I think a lot of it goes back to the tightening of government regulations over everything. You know, I mean, in our practice, sometimes they tie our hands so much because we can't this or we can't that or we can't get this medicine or whatever. But the clamping down on a formula company to throw all of the formula away, whatever they did with it, rather than just saying, okay, this lot is contaminated, kind of like they do with everything else. Oh, this lot of potato chips was contaminated, so we'll throw out that lot, but we'll let the rest go on. But again, I encourage parents not to panic. I encourage parents who have babies that are 6 months of age and older to think about those who have preemies. And you know, in my perfect world, the youngest preemies and the youngest babies would get the breast milk, and the older babies who can cope with and process regular foods, we should give those to the kids who are healthier. But that probably isn't going to happen. I also would want to encourage, if you're a breastfeeding mom right now, to do whatever you can to increase your supply, to perhaps provide it to other women and babies who need it, because that would be a huge help. If we could even double the amount of stored breast milk that we do, that would be huge. And I also want to say, you know, one thing. There are many, many mothers who can't breastfeed, and it grieves them. Women who adopt babies
right.
can't breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
Women who are on certain medications can't breastfeed, and for many different reasons. Maybe their body just doesn't do it. And we need to be very careful not to look down on women who aren't breastfeeding and say, well, you're a bad mom. Look, your baby's going to starve. That is horrible. And I think we need to be very, very careful about that.
Also, of course, with Bette Midler making the comment, oh, what's the big deal? Just breastfeed. I mean, seriously? I mean, talk about insensitivity. Well, thank goodness she got nailed on Twitter and a lot of pushback. But there's so much wrong with this overall situation on so many levels. Let's get back to the stress and the fear you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, Meg, because you and I talk about this a lot, especially in terms of how parents deal with what we're exposed to every day. It's getting increasingly ugly out there, but we need to remain calm. And I love the fact that you keep saying God is in charge. God is in charge. All things work together for good, Romans 8:28. We need to be strong, we need to be positive, and we need to look for solutions, because children sense when parents are fearful, correct?
Yeah, oh. They can sense it in the womb. And there is research that shows that anxious and depressed, now this will make mothers who are pregnant feel guilty, and I don't want to, but if you're depressed and anxious while you're carrying a child, the child can pick up on that. Certainly infants can, and certainly one-year-olds and five-year-olds. And I think that the most important thing that we mothers and fathers can do to diminish anxiety and depression in kids is to remain calm ourselves and get control of our anxiety and depression and show our kids that we as believers live in hope and trust. Even though everything around us is falling apart, this is not new to God, you know, but everything is falling apart, and yet we hold on, because faith and worry can't go together. Now, choosing faith and choosing hope and choosing to believe that God is on the throne and Christ is here is hard. It's hard, because fear is a very sort of natural, easy feeling, and it can overtake us easily.
Yep.
But we have to fight it, not only for our sake, but for our children's. And we can, because Scripture says that we are not to live in fear,
right,
but in faith.
He has not given us a spirit of fear, right?
Exactly.
And Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. It's my husband's favorite Scripture verse. It is such a very, very alarming times. I do think, as parents, as grandparents, I don't have any children myself, but I consider myself a spiritual mom, we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, but we also have to be extremely aware. And I'm hoping mm-hmm. that all of these things that are happening will be a wake-up call. I'm not going to get into party politics, but we have to take what's happening in terms of our rights, our situation, the economy that's being stripped away from us, and especially this issue of life, which is under attack. I mean, the craziness on the left, and we pray for these people, because we know a lot of it is coming from a place of pain and rage, especially in terms of post-abortion, for people who haven't been healed, or maybe people who have helped someone get an abortion. And when you hear that you've done something wrong, for example, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, saying that it was a bad law, then obviously all these things, you know, that's a trigger, and these things happen. But for parents to remain hopeful and to remain optimistic, how do they do that in the everyday, do you think? I mean, what would be your advice?
Prayer. You know, I think it's spending more and more time in prayer and quiet and just connecting with the Lord and reading Scripture, or, you know, reading our daily bread or reading some kind of devotional, because
right.
it's a tremendous amount of work to stay hopeful. Now, that said, it's very important that we not walk through life blind going, well, Jesus will help me and he'll take me the right way. I don't have to worry about anything.
Well, he gave us brains and he gave us people like you to help us. Right.
Well, I hope to think that. But it's very important. Know what your kids are listening to at school. Ask them. Look at the papers when they come home. I'm obviously changing subjects here. But we have to know what's being taught to our kids, because we are getting, you know, people are trying to push the Kool-Aid down our throats, and we're mature people. Imagine what they're trying to do with our young children. So don't turn a blind eye. For heaven's sakes, get your kids in parochial schools or Christian schools, homeschool if you can. And if your kids are in public school, I've got some grandkids in public school, and rather than be afraid, which I feel fear, period, you know, is just pray for those kids and come alongside them and just know what is happening and be ready to give a reason for
the
your
hope
faith.
That it was within you, right?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then just by prayer, God knows how serious this is, and he knows our hearts. And I believe that he will give us answers. It may not be in bottles filled with formula for, you know, 3 months old, but he will give us some answer some way, and we just have to hold on to that and seek him out. When I sometimes am really frustrated, Teresa, I imagine the face of Christ, and I just stare at it in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just what I do, because that melts me, and
yeah.
That makes me less fearful.
So that's why I have images of Jesus all over my office.
Yes,
and the saints, and St. Michael the Archangel.
Yes,
my whole little army every morning when I go on the air.
I beg them.
Yeah, but the other thing, too, is you know what I think about? Is I think about all the times where I thought I was in a situation that could not possibly get better, and miraculously something happened to improve it or overturn it, to never lose heart or lose hope, because that's what those who are against Jesus want us to do, whether it's with our children, whether it's in our schools, in our churches. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and use the tools that we have, including great doctors like Meg Meeker. Meg Meeker can be found at meekerparenting.com, and she'll have updates on this story and many other issues facing parents. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, meekerparenting.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
St. John Paul's theology of the body teaches us that having healthy relationships means cooperating with God's design of our bodies. Research tells us that kids' brains can't learn and integrate new behaviors when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared. Have you ever felt like everything you tell your kids goes in one ear and out the other? Well, are you telling them those things when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared? That might be your answer. Discipleship discipline, an approach inspired by St. John Bosco, gives parents strategies to help their kids calm down first so they can learn what their parents are trying to teach them. Discipleship discipline is an important part of the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a busy Tuesday morning. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, this program co-produced by EWTN at EWTN.com and Ave Maria Radio at AveMariaRadio.net. Sean Carney, an amazing pro-life activist and speaker, has been out there for many, many years with 40 Days for Life and doing so much good for the pro-life cause and for life in general and for the church. Sean, I don't know where to begin. So many stories to discuss, but we've been trying to catch up with you, and I know you've been super busy the last 2 weeks. But I first just wanted to get your reaction. In all the years you've been working on this most important preeminent issue of life, did you ever think you would see such a drastic thing as a leak from the highest court in the land? And good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. No, but if there was going to be a leak, as we've seen, it was going to be with abortion. I mean, it's absolutely unique. There wasn't a leak for gay marriage. There wasn't a leak for Obamacare. You look at all the controversial topics that the Supreme Court has taken up. This is one of the reasons that Roe needs to go, and the Supreme Court needs to get out and stay out of the dehumanization business, because their own clerks can't help themselves. And so it was very surprising. I was at my kid's Catholic high school and, you know, started getting the texts and the stories and all that when it broke. And it was it's great. The leak was obviously bad, but the content is fantastic. And they're not only, appearing to overturn Roe v. Wade, but they really gave that bad law the beating that it deserved.
However, it's early yet, though. I mean, they're not supposed to. They're probably going to do something, obviously, before the end of the season, end of June, early July. But we shouldn't be jumping the gun, should we? Because this is a draft opinion, and Alito and others have said this, and legal experts, pro-life legal experts, have said there's a lot of work when a draft opinion comes out. What are your thoughts on that take on it, that this is early yet, even though it was a majority opinion? It's a draft opinion, and those things go back and forth at the high court.
They do go back and forth. I'm not, of course, I could be proven to be a fool. I think that the strength of the opinion gives a lot away. I think that's why you see the abortion advocates losing their minds. That was a very, very strong opinion. It's a February 10th opinion, according to the date on the opinion. It will change. It'll definitely change. But I am fully confident that they'll overturn Roe v. Wade because of the nature of how it was written. And so, I think that there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful that it will get overturned, and we should be preparing, if groups haven't already. We've been preparing for years, but we should definitely be ready for a post-Roe world, which is really when the real work begins.
I was just going to ask you that next question. By the way, if you're just joining us on a Tuesday morning, recognize the voice of our friend Sean Carney, author, CEO, president, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life. He's also a noted author and speaker. And that is what is the biggest thing that is just driving me nuts, as looking at this from a factual perspective and a reporting perspective, because there's so much wrong with the reporting and acting as if this is it for abortion. Abortion is going to be wiped out. Of course, you saw the women and the men with the coat hangers over the weekend at these different abortion protests. But it goes right back to the states. And if the other side is all about choice, 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 which they always say and have been telling us for almost 50 years now, pounding it into us, then I would think that getting back to the states to let the people decide would be the answer for them.
Yeah, and Alito put that in his opinion. He said basically, it will be interpreted by some that we are taking away the rights of women, and it's quite the opposite. For the first time in American history, women will have the power for abortion and not the court. It's interesting with all that, a much more diversified group of justices that are going to overturn Roe v. Wade than the all-male Supreme Court that gave us Roe v. Wade. And it does. It goes back to the states. I think I've been actually pleasantly surprised that a lot of people realize this doesn't end abortion, and it goes back to the states. And we're going to be surprised, actually, with some states that keep abortion. So it's going to be a real battle. It's definitely not the time to pop champagne. But what is great for us in the pro-life movement is that the battle is going back to where we're the strongest and they're the weakest, which is mm-hmm. in the grassroots. You know, we have the pregnancy resource centers that outnumber abortion providers 5-1. We have 40 Days for Life, which has really just dominated the local, pro-life movement as far as opposing what is an absent pro-abortion local movement. I mean, they've put all their eggs in Washington, D.C. And when you go to these towns or we have vigils, there's not like local people that are out on the street supporting abortion. So Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry is going to where they're really weak, and there's a huge disconnect with their corporate side and the people that actually run their abortion facilities. So we have tremendous opportunity. And it's basically what the church has been saying, which is this is about hearts, minds, and souls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things we're seeing, and I think it should be encouraging for all of us Catholics, is the hatred of the church is on full display over something that we actually want to be hated for, right? So, you know, immediately it's not Alito is evil, it's Alito is Catholic. They're now, you know, taking off the gloves for Amy Coney Barrett, and she has seven kids, and she's crazy, and she's Catholic, and all of those things, I think it's a very positive light for Catholics at a time when we need it.
We're talking with Sean Carney, author and CEO, president and founder of 40 Days for Life, on the leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion that was written by Justice Alito, a majority opinion regarding the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade that happened 2 weeks ago. We still don't know who leaked it, although there's a lot of suspicion around that, and I think that's a big story in itself. I want to play a clip with that in mind of Justice Clarence Thomas, who spoke to a group of lawyers and law students on Friday, a really powerful discussion. And he actually said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that the nature of the court now has been changed by this leak and that people have to wake up and realize what this means in terms of when they start going after the major institutions in the United States of America. Take a listen.
I think we are in danger of destroying the institutions that are required for a free society. You can't have a civil society, a free society, without a stable legal system. You can't have one without stability in things like property or interpretation and impartial judiciary. And I've been in this business long enough to know just how fragile it is. And the institution that I'm a part of, if someone said that one line of one opinion would be leaked by anyone, and you would say, that's impossible. No one would ever do that. There's such a belief in the rule of law, a belief in the court, a belief in what we were doing, that was verboten. It was beyond anyone's understanding, or at least anyone's imagination, that someone would do that. And look where we are, where now that trust or that belief is gone forever. And when you lose that trust, especially in the institution that I'm in, it changes the institution fundamentally. You begin to look over your shoulder. It's like kind of an infidelity that you can explain it, but you can't undo it. And I think you're seeing it go through any number of our institutions, whether it's in the political branches or whether it's in the universities.
So while we'll see what we're seeing in the draft opinion, as you mentioned earlier, Sean, is good news, please God, in terms of overturning Roe v. Wade and giving the power back to the people, which is what our founding fathers wanted in the first place. What Thomas is saying, who's a very pro-life justice, obviously, is that this is dangerous because if this is happening at the Supreme Court, this is an attack on who we are as a republic. Your thoughts?
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. But I think the Irish, and I'll throw you in there, the Italian Senate, will say...
Fair enough, fair enough.
I can't believe this hasn't happened yet. I mean, we have, on the Supreme Court, activist judges. I mean, John Roberts created Obamacare out of thin air. The Supreme Court created Roe out of thin air and gave it to us. So it's only a matter of time until we have activist clerks who leak things. So I think that they're following suit. You know, we have had justices, we've had lawyers that have abused the system. He mentioned the political realm where we see leaks are just constant. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Catholic or Democrat. And I think sadly this is where we are. And he's right. We threaten the future of our institutions, but that didn't start with this leak. That's been going on for a while.
So how should we be approaching this then, those of us who work in the movement, involved in 40 Days for Life, who work and are have been out there on the front lines just doing this as you have year after year, day after day, right there where the rubber meets the road? We continue this, but unfortunately, as our scripture tells us and how our Lord says, to whom much is given, much is expected, we have to be willing to roll up our sleeves even further, correct?
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons we launched 40 Days for Life University earlier this year. We launched a sidewalk outreach program. We've had over 1,000 students go through that. We launched 40 Days for Life 365, where we now have 70 cities that have a year-round peaceful vigil outside of their abortion facilities. We are ready. 40 Days for Life is actually strongest in states where abortion will remain legal. I mean, California is our biggest and most effective state. We've closed 104 abortion facilities in the United States. But 45% of those, Teresa, are in states where abortion will remain legal. So It doesn't matter where you are. You can close an abortion facility if you focus on prayer, fasting, and reaching, you know, a mother's heart. And we've seen that. We've seen it in Los Angeles. Our recent closures were in San Francisco, Seattle, and Chicago.
Wow.
Hardly pro-life cities. So this is the time to roll up our sleeves, as you said, and get to work and make America abortion-free. But it's going to take a lot of work. I do think we're going to see a shift in our country. I think a lot of people are going to rethink abortion. I mean, we saw that with Bill Maher last week.
Oh, my goodness. When he read the opinion, I talked about this, at least I think I did. There's been so much going on, I can't remember what I've done and what I haven't done on the air. Maybe it's been other discussions, but so interesting. I'm not a fan of his, but at least he's honest. And he said there were so many things about abortion he didn't know, and he read the draft opinion and says, did you know that we're one of the most liberal in terms of abortion policies in the world? We're up there with China and Korea. I didn't know that. Well, hello. We've only been saying that forever.
Yeah, and that most women are pro-life.
Pro-life.
That's why, you know, we say, not in a condescending way, but they actually don't know what they're talking about.
I mean,
one half of it. We've been running around saying this is the issue of all issues until it ends, and it's life and death, and they passively supported it. They refuse to talk about it. They live in this vague rhetoric. And it's on full display now.
Well, they haven't had to talk about it. And this, I think, is another reason why they're panicking, because, as you just said, they've been getting away with the rhetoric. They've been getting away with the emotion. They've been getting away with the handmaiden's tale outfits with the bonnets and the red and the signs, you know, get your rosaries off my ovaries. They've always kept it in the emotional response.
Yeah.
And semantics.
And they've also kept it in the goofy realm.
And
nobody... I mean, when the women dress up in the creepy red costumes and they go in the cathedral in Los Angeles, you know, and everybody's like, leave, and they leave, and no one's taking you seriously. When, you know, last week a Washington Post columnist compared the overturning of Roe to 9/11.
Oh,
you know,
please.
They have no idea how to discuss this. And frankly, it's awkward because all of their arguments that they use and say could easily be applied to slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have, Howard Stern said that the justices who are overturning Roe v. Wade should be forced to raise unwanted children. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's a source I want to count on, Howard Stern. That's one that's really
good. Exactly. I mean, that is, but they don't know what to say. He's a lifelong pro-abortion advocate, and he's saying this goofy thing that sounds too much like, you know, if you want to free the slaves, you better hire one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just this horrible, you know, unreasonable approach to something that is very, very serious. And we've taken it very seriously. And I don't really think they have ultimately.
No, they haven't, because they've had their way for 50 years. Sean, God love you. Keep up the great work. What's the best way to find you if folks want to bring you in to speak?
40daysforlife.com. You can get everything there.
All right. Stay strong, my Irish brother. Keep that Irish up. Keep doing what you're doing. Sean Carney, author and CEO, president and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, joining us. Catching up with him after the leak of the draft of the Supreme Court decision regarding Dobbs. We'll be right back. Let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
When you see the world with Catholic eyes, you see God's hand at work in human history. You see the true, the good, and the beautiful. With a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville, you see the world as it truly is. This online program helps you see art, literature, theology, psychology, and more as occasions for grace. Find out more about the Masters in Catholic Studies at franciscan.edu/MCS. That's franciscan.edu/MCS.
This program underwritten by...
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com now to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. FathomEvents.com. It's a matter of life.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Coincidentally or not so coincidentally, the gospel for today from John 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, because I have overcome the world." Talk to you tomorrow. Joan Lewis joins us from Rome.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.